And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and with me in the studio today is Ken Thompson.
Hi, Bill, and hi, everybody.
And today we get to welcome back Glenn Poole. Glenn has been on this program 3 times before. But today we are talking about a new project that's been started by Glenn only last month in Australia. It's called the Stop Male Suicide Project. Glenn is a director of the consultancy Helping Men and the UK coordinator of International Men's Day, as well as being the founder of this new organisation. Glenn, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So, Glenn, you've started the Stop Male Suicide Project. Is this something you see as a particular problem in Australia?
It's certainly a problem in Australia. It's a problem all over the world. We know that 5 men a day die by suicide in Australia, and men are 3 times more likely to take their own lives than women. So, yeah, really a pressing issue. And as someone has said before, quite rightly, if 5 whales were being beached on Australia's coastline every day, it'd be on the front page of every newspaper. So why, when 5 men die every day from suicide, are we not talking about it more?
So this is what you're putting your efforts into at the moment, this Stop Male Suicide, and you're going to be trying to reduce that high level, that unacceptably high level of suicide. I mean, I guess even 1 suicide is unacceptable, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, every life is precious. And, you know, every suicide, whether male or female, is something we should be concerned about. And because, as we say, men are 3 times more likely to kill themselves, we need to put more effort into that. So there's a lot of great work already happening in Australia to try and tackle suicide and to tackle male suicide. So over the next 12 months, what I'm doing, I'm here to contribute. I'm going to be travelling around the country. I'm going to be holding a seminar in every single state and major territory over the year. And the idea is to create a platform to bring together people who are passionate about this issue, already have great knowledge, already committed to making a difference, and to see what we can do by creating a stronger collective approach.
Your method of getting the message out there, it's partly by seminars. What other ways have you planned?
Yeah, so the key thing is the seminar. I think just to focus on that's really important, because that's going to happen in every state. We're going to get experts from organisations like, for example, Mates in Construction, who I know you've had on here before, doing great work reducing suicide in the construction industry. And when people are working to prevent suicide, often they're working in their own field, in their own silos, in their own states, quite understandably so. So this idea of connecting people through the seminar process is a really important part of getting the word out there, because a lot of the work that's done on suicide prevention is done without an actual focus on particularly male suicide. So keeping the conversation focused on the male part of suicide is a really important part of that. But also, suicide is everyone's problem. It's not just an issue for mental health services. It's not just an issue for social workers. It's an issue for every single person in this country. All communities are affected by it. So I'm looking at how can we generate more of a national conversation through social media, through the sharing of articles online, through the mainstream media. How can we get more people talking about this issue? I think it's just about getting the conversation going. It's not about me as an individual saying I have all the answers, because I really don't. I'm here to try and get people talking about it, because I think I've got this kind of a motto, which is that none of us is as smart as all of us. There's a lot of people out there who already have some of the answers, not all the answers, and we need to give more weight and more focus to the people who've got some of the answers and already doing great work in this area.
Now, we know, and you've put it in some of your publications, that some groups are more exposed than others, and I'm thinking particularly of the Indigenous community. How are you going to get the message out to the Indigenous community, where the rates of suicide are even higher than the average community?
Yeah, well, I think it's true that suicide is an issue that affects people of all backgrounds. Men of all backgrounds are more likely to kill themselves than their female peers. And then there are specific communities where the risk is even higher. Sometimes that's to do with age. Sometimes that's to do with things like sexuality. Sometimes it's to do with life circumstances like family breakdown or unemployment. And yes, you're quite right. The rate of suicide in the Indigenous community is much, much higher than in the non-Indigenous community. like with all these communities, there are people already working in these fields. So it's not about me personally going out and getting the message to the Indigenous community. It's about finding out who's already doing the work and connecting them with other people and learning from each other.
Now, you've mentioned a number of times that, men are far more likely to commit suicide than women. I think the figure is about three times as likely. Any ideas on why that would be?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and there's lots of different explanations for it. And there's one I want to highlight, because I think we need to sort of unpick it a little bit, and it's the idea that it's because men don't get help. Now, one thing that I'm finding, which is really interesting, is that women are more likely, in the research we have, women are more likely to attempt suicide, women are more likely to have suicidal thoughts, and yet men are more likely to complete suicide. And when men are more likely to complete suicide, we say that's because men don't get help. But interestingly, when more women attempt suicide, we don't say that's because women don't get help. And so that in itself is quite interesting. Why is it when more women attempt suicide, no one points the finger at women and says it's because women aren't getting help? And yet when men are more likely to kill themselves, pretty much everyone says, well, that's because men don't get help. Now, I know from my experience in the broader men's health sector that men will access services when services are male-friendly. When services are set up with an intention to help men, then men will access those services. So rather than sort of focusing on why don't men get help, I think the question we need to ask ourselves is why aren't the services helping as effective at helping men as they are at helping women? And I think there's a lot of good work already being done in the men's health sector, both in here in Australia and around the world, which has demonstrated time and time again that men will get help if we provide services that are particularly designed with men in mind.
I think Professor McDonald, John McDonald, out at University of Western Sydney, has done some work in that area, so I guess you'd be tapping in on his
research. I think John did some excellent work. He did a great paper on their work in Central Coast a few years ago, which looks at the pathways to despair. And I think that's a really important thing to point out, that a lot of great work's already been done. And there can be a tendency, not just in Australia, but everywhere around the world, that when we have a new initiative or a new approach or a new announcement or a new tranche of funding, and we start from scratch, and actually a lot of thinking has already been done in this field. So that's part of what I'm trying to do, is identify where's the good thinking from the last year, the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years in Australia and around the world, and how can we make sure that the very best thinking is still kept on the table, still kept at the surface. And yeah, certainly John McDonald's work is one example amongst many of work that's been done already that should be on everyone's mind who's working in this field.
It must be part of a mosaic, because I think you've said that 99% of countries around the world, men commit suicide more frequently than women. So perhaps it's not just that one factor of health services being available.
Sure. Suicide in men and in women is extremely complex. So there's a real balance between understanding the complexity and then not making the issue so complex that you feel like you have no solutions. So one very simple model. There are lots of models. One very simple model says there's basically three factors. One, an individual feels that they are a burden. Not that they are a burden, but they feel or think that they're a burden. Two, that they have a sense that they don't belong. There's a thwartedness in their sense of belonging. And three, they have the ability to actually kill themselves and carry through the act. So when you look at it through that filter, it can become a bit, and it's not necessarily a full picture, but when you look at it through that kind of filter, it can become a little bit more, a little bit easier to understand why an individual man may kill himself. So you look at, for example, the issue that we're all concerned with here, which is family breakdown and what happens to dads when they separate. Well, the belief that now they're becoming a burden to people rather than being sort of like a worthwhile citizen, worthwhile to their family and their children, can quite easily kick in. The sense of that loss of sense of belonging when you're separated from your family, that's all there already. So one of the areas we know where men are at risk is during separation and breakdown. So that's one area I think we need to put more focus, certainly, because a lot of this problem is about separation and breakdown, that sense of feeling you're a burden, that sense of not belonging anymore, that isolation. I think within men that's clearly tends to be stronger than it is with women. So that social isolation, the disconnectedness, the lack of belonging, which all then builds up. Because the interesting thing is that when you try and measure who's actually thinking about suicide, all the research says that women think about it more than men. Mm. So a lot of the solutions are then focused on how can we reduce thoughts about suicide, how can we reduce suicide attempts, which is very important, but that misses men, because men are going down a different pathway to suicide in general than women.
And we're speaking with Glenn Poole, who's the founder of a new organisation called Stop Male Suicide. We're going to stop ourselves for a minute now and just have a break with a song called Get Together by the Youngbloods.
Love is but a song we sing, fears the way we die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing and you may not know why.
And that was Get Together by the Youngbloods. And we're speaking today with Glenn Poole, who is the founder of a new organisation called Stop Male Suicide. And as the name implies, this is to do something about the appalling rate of male suicide in Australia and in 99% of countries around the world. So, Glenn, we were just talking about some of the factors involved in this high rate of male suicide. Do you think this might have something to do with the changing role of men in our society these days?
That's a really interesting question. I don't have a definitive answer, but certainly one of the underlying factors seems to be a sense of hopelessness and a sense of not having meaning and purpose in life. And I think the change in men's and women's roles we have seen in the last 40 or 50 years has moved us from a position where people were clearer about what their purpose was. Right or wrong, they were clear about what their purpose was and followed a certain path as a man or a woman. And that's changed enormously, and that certainly has led, for some people, to a confusion about what their utility and their purpose is in life. So I think we need to negotiate that. And there was always a high suicide rate. It's not that the suicide rate has got massively bigger. One thing that has changed from the sort of the late 70s to the present is the difference between male suicide and female suicide. So there's something in the old traditional roles for men and women which was fairly protective. But sometimes people say, well, it's traditional masculinity. It's these old constructions of masculinity that men should be strong and stoic and all the rest of it, which is causing suicide. And sure, maybe that plays a role. But if that was the case, then pretty much everyone in traditional societies would have been killing themselves. For a lot of men living within that world of traditional masculinity, they didn't kill themselves. A few did. But there has been a massive shift. Something has changed for women, which has seen the suicide rate in women fall quite spectacularly since the sort of the late 60s and early 70s, which hasn't been matched by a corresponding fall in the suicide rate for men. So something has improved in women's lives, broadly speaking, which maybe we can learn from, which hasn't improved in men's lives to the same extent.
I wonder if it might have something to do with the increased role of government empowering women, so that males who were previously seen as protectors and having a definite role in the family, a lot of those roles, and provider, even the provider role, seems to have been taken over by the government, so that the men are feeling disempowered, the women are feeling more empowered, and maybe that might be another factor to add to your matrix.
Sure, I certainly think that empowering people is the way to go in this conversation. And we're very comfortable sort of talking about how do we empower women, but we're not very comfortable in talking about how do we empower men. And because then we then flip over into this conversation, well, men have got all the power, haven't they? Because they're the top of government and top of business and so on and so forth. An empowered man does not kill himself. That is not the action of an empowered man. That's the action of a very disempowered human being. So I think the conversation about how do we help empower men, and actually being proud to say that we want to live in a world where women are empowered and men are empowered, don't we? That wouldn't that be fantastic? So I think that's definitely an important part of it. And then your point about sort of the protector provider role, there's certainly something in that. There's certainly something that shows. So for example, we've had the worldwide recession, and we know in the UK, and it's repeated all around the world, that as the recession kicked in the UK, there's 1,000 more suicides over a sort of a 2-3 year period, and 84% of those suicides that were linked to the recession were male. So when men lose their ability to be that provider, to earn a crust, it seems to have a greater impact on men than women. Of course it has an impact on women too, but it seems to have a greater impact. And a lot of the guys who are killing themselves are often unemployed, or there's that time of life after retirement where they wonder what their purpose is. They've become separated from their family, so even if they've still got a job, they don't feel able to actually play the role in the family that they previously played. So all of these things are certainly factors. How we change that today or tomorrow is open to discussion and debate. We can become aware of the fact right now that if a man is unemployed, a man is made redundant, a man is separated from his family, that he's at risk. And we need those who are working with those men, like groups like Dads in Distress and people like that, to be empowered to help those men. Because we can't change society overnight, but we can change our approach to helping men in society right now, this second.
There's an enormous cost to the community, both in economic terms and emotional terms. And yet there doesn't seem to be the compassion that we would expect. I think you mentioned before about, you know, if 7 whales a week were beaching in New South Wales, there'd be an outcry. But 7 men committing suicide seems to go through the radar. Well, why do you think there is this lack of compassion?
Yeah, I think there's lots of different theories about it. And I think we just need to acknowledge it exists. In all the work that I've done with men and boys, the common theme across all issues, whether it's boys in education, whether it's issues that fathers face, whether it's suicide, whether it's issues around the violence against men and so on and so forth, the unifying theme is that collectively we are more tolerant of harm happening to men and boys. Now, there's lots of theories about that. You can have quite a feminist theory which says that's the patriarchal construction of masculinity. You could have quite an anti-feminist theory which says, you know, that's because men are disposable and men are just treated as cannon fodder and so on and so forth. there may be truth in both of those perspectives. There may be other reasons to explain it. But I think at some level, collectively, all of us, men and women, for whatever reason, whether it's evolution or social conditioning or whatever, we are less compassionate and we're less concerned about the harm that happens to men and boys. Maybe it's because we rely on men as the protectors at that kind of social level, whether it's the police, the firefighters, the soldiers. Maybe that's it. Maybe we feel that if all of a sudden men were more sensitive and vulnerable, our country would be at risk. Maybe that's it. It's something deep down, maybe. I don't know the actual answer, but I think if we actually look at it, it's very difficult to deny that we are not as empathetic and as compassionate towards men.
Yes, and I wonder if it also extends to suicide generally, because there's not a lot of compassion for women committing suicide either, is there?
No, completely. I mean, if you just set aside all male suicide and looked at the rate of female suicide in this country on its own, it's really high. It's staggeringly high. Hundreds of women die by suicide and thousands attempt suicide. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of things in the mix. There's that kind of that stigma around mental health generally, but also around people who take their lives. So I think that making it easier for everyone to talk about this issue, sure, I'm focusing on men, but I believe very strongly that being able to talk about this issue openly and compassionately and non-judgmentally isn't just good for men, it'll also be good for women as well.
We're speaking with Glenn Poole, who's the founder of the new organisation Stop Male Suicide. Glenn, on current figures, we'd expect something like 1,800 to 2,000 people to commit suicide in the next year.
That's the men, yeah.
Yeah, of men. Mm. So do you have a target with the work you're doing?
At a national and federal level, there is a commitment to half suicide in 10 years. So with that commitment to half suicide in 10 years, my commitment is to do everything that I can to make sure that the work to achieve that reduces male suicide by half in 10 years. So it's like, if we want to hit that target of halving all suicide in 10 years, we have to halve male suicide in 10 years. That's a big task. And that means that rather than 5 men or 10 men every 2 days killing themselves, that would halve. So we'd only have 2 or 3 men a day killing themselves. Still too many, but if we can bring it down. But if we don't, I really believe that if we don't focus on the male aspect of this issue, we will miss that target.
So if this program has raised any concerns for you, there are a number of agencies that can help. You can go to Lifeline on 1-3-11-14, or you can go to Suicide Callback Service on 1-300-659-467, or Men's Line on 1-300-789-978. And Glenn, can you tell us a bit more about your program in Australia?
So basically, the Stop Male Suicide Project is just launched, and we're starting off with a year of activity to really try and raise awareness and raise the focus on male suicide, on the fact that 5 men a day kill themselves in Australia, and men are 3 times more likely to kill themselves. We've got 3 key things we're going to focus on. We want people to learn more, to listen more, and to love more. We want to spread knowledge and awareness of suicide. That's learning more. We want to get people to really listen to what men have to say. It's no good just saying men should talk. We have to all learn to be able to listen to men with empathy and compassion. And I really do think as well we need to focus on loving more, which is actually loving and celebrating and being proud of what men and boys have to offer to this great country and to the world, because men with purpose and men who are empowered don't generally kill themselves, and we need to create a country and a world where men and boys and women and girls are empowered and able to fulfill their potential.
Great, and if you want some more information on that, go to the website www.stopmalesuicide.com. Now, Glenn, you've asked us to play a song. I wonder if you could tell us which song you picked and why you picked it.
Yeah, Bill, what I've picked is Under Pressure by David Bowie and Queen. Obviously, we sadly mourned the loss of David Bowie in the past month. And I think this, for obvious reasons, this song is very celebratory, but it also talks about, you know, the pressure that we all feel. And let's hope that people feeling pressure and men feeling pressure in Australia this year can reach out and get the help and support they need.
and that was Under Pressure by Queen, featuring David Bowie. We've come to the end of our program. We've thoroughly enjoyed speaking to Glenn Poole, who is the founder of a new organisation, Stop Male Suicide. It's a sobering topic, but it's great to know that people like Glenn are working so hard to do something about it in Australia. So, Glenn, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
And if you'd like to listen to this program again or any of our programs, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au. You can send us an email and we'll be in touch. That's about it for this week. We'll be back next week with another program. So in the meantime, from Ken Thompson and me, it's goodbye